Our text today is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 20 and 21. If you're able to physically stand, would you do so? Let's honor God as we listen to His Word together, and then I want to try to unpack this last verse for us as we think about, again, as I said to the children, this wonderful, wonderful, the truth of this message. Verse 20. Therefore we are ambassadors for Christ, God making His appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake He made Him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. Amen. Father, we bow together and we thank You that You have loved us so much that You gave Your unique, Your only Son. And Lord Jesus, we want to thank You that You have loved us so much that You gave Your life that we might live. Holy Spirit, we want to thank You that You have come to make this a reality for us. Yes. We have been born again, and we know that this is truth, and we know that we have been joined to Jesus forever. Yes. Thank You for the privilege now of considering these truths, that we might be ambassadors for Christ in this dark and desperate time. Yes, Lord. Would You work out Your will so that we might live Your way, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. We're going to finish up then this with the topic of a new perspective. If you'll remember, we started this journey in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and we saw in verse 16 that every believer has a new perspective on Christ. You can't be a believer unless Christ now is the Messiah. You know that He is the Son of God, right? Paul said he once thought of Him as one way, but now he knows that He's the Son of God. And if you're a Christian, you do too. We also saw in verse 16 and 17, that every believer has a new perspective on people, both unbelievers and believers. We saw today in Bible study that every human being is created in the image of God. Yes? And they are worth, every individual has worth, even if they don't know Christ. The worth is that God compels us to love them enough to take the gospel message. We need to love believers enough to likewise, as we're going to see here today, encourage them to be reconciled to God. Every believer is an ambassador for Christ in this work of reconciliation. Now, today, I want to connect these two verses. You might remember that last time we were together, we looked at verse 20. Right? You look at verse 20 again. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making His appeal through us. So, what we looked at last time is the Christian ambassador is what I call method. The Christian ambassador's method, and today we're going to look at the Christian ambassador's message. What was the method? You remember this word, presbyo? It's an important word. That's where we get the word ambassador, and it means someone who is an envoy, or someone who's sent as a representative with the authority of the sender. Okay? Yes? So when God sends us out to represent Him, to represent Christ, we have God's authority. It's just like that policeman that stands out in the middle of the intersection and raises up his hand. We don't stop just because it's a man raising up his hand. We stop because of who he represents, right? The authority behind him. And so you and I have been sent with that kind of authority as ambassadors for Christ. But that's who we are, and then last week we looked at what we do, and you might remember, well, it's been a little while, so you might not remember. This verse
says that one of the Christian's primary role is to beg people. And that's challenging because some of us think that that's beneath us, to beg people. I'm sure I shared this with you all last time. I was particularly struck when studying this again just a few weeks ago. I saw that Paul wrote this to say that Christians oftentimes have to beg Christians. We're accustomed to begging unbelievers to be reconciled to God. But he says here that Christians have to get accustomed to begging Christians. And that's challenging for us because you assume that because the person is a Christian, they know better. And they should do better. But God says otherwise. That you and I have been called to even beg believers at times to be reconciled to God.
Amen.
Do you remember what we said? God then pleads through us. And we plead on behalf of Christ. So you remember this? I'm trying to put this in a perspective so you can get this clear in your mind before we look at this last verse. There are times that you are begging people to obey God, and God is actually begging people to obey Him through you. You speak on behalf of God. And there are consequences for people that blatantly and openly disobey God. So when you have done your job to beg people, you have to leave the rest of the work to God Himself. You understand? Immature believers, which we had there in Corinth, are saved but have not fully understood and accepted reconciliation to God. That's the reason you have to be willing to beg at times, even people that you think have been Christian long enough to know the difference. Age does not make a person mature. Yes?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm talking about age as a Christian. And so, a part of the grace here, this is a new perspective that I'm saying that we need to embrace. A part of the challenge here is for us to be willing to be patient with people. Even when you feel like you've said something over and over and over again. Think of how patient God is with you.
Amen.
When He's told you to do something and you know better. And you be everybody in you would be disingenuous if you say you had not done something you didn't know. You knew better before you did it.
Mm-hmm.
Yes?
Amen.
Think of how gracious God is with us.
Yes, He is.
And how merciful He is with us when we have done things wrong. And He simply says to us, I want you to be that gracious and that merciful to others. All right. So today, I want to look briefly then at what I call the Christian ambassador's message. We get back to our text. The very first thing that you notice in our text is that it says, for our sake, He made Him to be sin, who knew no sin. So I want us to think about what Christ did. And I don't want you to say, well, really, I know the gospel. Yeah, you do. And all I'm doing in many cases is reminding you of what you already know. And Peter said that I have no problem doing that because I don't believe you got it. Some of you say, well, what do you mean? I'm telling you the same thing that I just read. I'm begging you, just like we're supposed to beg each other. None of us are there. None of us have arrived. Yes?
Amen.
And so we all need to grow in Christ. And it's just like a coach that's watching his team. And a good coach realizes when the team has lost the basics. Regardless of how advanced they are, if you begin to get away from the basics, the team is going to fall apart. Yes?
Amen.
So any good coach brings a team back to what? The basics.
Amen.
And Trinity, we have got to get these basics right.
Amen.
Yes?
Yes?
This is particularly dangerous for a church that has studied the Bible for a long time. Yeah. For people that begin to think more highly of themselves, what?
Than
they ought to think.
Amen.
Yes?
Yes.
For people that get impatient with each other because we ought to know better. That's true.
Amen.
And in many cases, we do know better. And in many cases, the person who is impatient knows better. Yes?
Amen.
And so this is something that we all need to embrace. So I hope you understand why I'm not fussing. I'm just saying that this is something we need to get. Right?
Amen.
So what did Christ do? I want you to really pay attention to the statement. It was a tough time trying to get this sentence written. I want you to look at this sentence. I want you to think about it. Christ was made to be the sin bearer for our sin. Another word is sacrifice, right? Now, when I say made to be, that doesn't mean that he did it under duress. But it means that this became a reality for him, right? He was made to be the sin bearer or sacrifice for our sins. Let me put it in perspective. Can you find Galatians chapter 3 and verse 13? Let's look at that together. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. Do you hear that? He redeemed us from the curse by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree. Amen.
Amen.
Now, keep going. I want you to take a look at 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 16. Verse 6. 1 Timothy chapter 2. You'd have a tough time finding verse 16. Since there's not one. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 6. I'm going to read 5 and 6. For there is one God and there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Now here's verse 6. Who gave himself as a ransom for all, which is the testimony given at the proper time. You see that? Now, I'm trying to impress upon you these truths from the Scripture to see that when you say, oh, Christ died, there's so much more there. He was made to bear our sins. The innocent for the guilty. Yes? Hebrews 2 and verse 9. But we see him who for a little while was made lower than the angels, namely Jesus, crowned with glory and honor because of the suffering of death, so that by the grace of God, look, here's what I want to get to. He might taste death for everyone. You hear that? He tasted death so that you and I would not have to. Now, this death is eternal. There are going to be people who don't know Christ who will experience the second death. You don't want that. I'm thankful that Christ tasted. We're going to die once. But I'm thankful that we won't die again. There are some people that will experience the second death, and that's going to be tragic. Christ tasted death for those who will believe. Right? And then now, finally, 1 Peter 3, 18. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit. Amen.
Now, I hope you can see that that means he became a substitute. He substituted himself for me. You need to personalize that. Christ became my substitute. I should have been the one dying because I'm the one that sinned, but he died in my place. Yes? And not only that, we just saw that he became a ransom for us. In other words, he said to the Father, I'm willing to pay the price for Willie's sin. He was born a sinner and he will die a sinner if we don't pay the debt that he owes. And so he became a ransom. Right? Jesus paid for my sin.
Yes.
When we sing he paid it all, that's what we're
talking about. Amen.
He became a ransom. Thank God for that.
Amen.
And then he became a redeemer. So he redeemed us from that awful circumstance that we live in. Now I want you to think about this. Nothing good ever comes from sin. We don't think about it when we're committing sin. But if you will take a moment now, I want you to really think about it. Nothing good ever comes from sin. What does sin produce? Misery. Pain, shame, disease, despair, destruction, and death. The wages of sin is what?
Yes. Death.
Now James said that when James 1 says that when sin is fully grown or fully matured, or when it's carried out its full purpose, it produces death. And in any of our situations, I don't know what your life was like. But the road I was on was leading to me dying. Not just dying from this life, but me spending eternity in hell.
Amen.
Now, it felt good. It tasted good. And all of those kinds. It built my ego, but it was a road to destruction. Pride goes before what? Destruction. It was a road to destruction and death for me. And Jesus came and brought me out of that.
Yes, yes.
And he did it for you.
Yes, he did.
Yes, he did.
Yeah.
That's what he did.
Thank you.
That's what he did. Christ willingly took upon himself the complete wrath of God, the complete judgment of God for sinners who were guilty. I'm reading verses here that I know you understand and you've heard. You don't even need to turn to this one. I just want you to listen to it. And I want you to think of it now in light of what I just said. Isaiah 53. Listen to it. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sins. Yet we esteem him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his stripes we are healed. Yes? He did it for us. He was a man of grief, acquainted with grief, a man of sorrows, and he allowed himself to be isolated because he wanted to redeem us.
Yes.
He was made to be sin. You get this? I'm telling you, Christianity has got to be more than just theology. It's got to be some passion about what Christ has done for us.
Thank you.
Yes. How can someone die for you and not move you?
Amen.
Yes?
Yes.
I mean, think of it. Why would all the people in the first century give their lives up if they didn't have passion? Why would you be fed to lions? If you didn't have passion about what we do, why would you be tied between horses and ripped apart if you didn't have passion? Be dipped in oil and used as torches at night. Skinned alive if you didn't have passion.
Yes.
For the one who died for you.
Amen, amen.
Have your family and job and everything ripped away from you. Now that's happening today, by the way. Christians in oppressed countries lose everything to become a Christian. And they don't look back because they have real passion. But it seems like those of us who live so comfortably, it just becomes
a fad.
Yeah.
We need a new perspective.
Oh, I know.
Yeah? Mm-hmm. The basics ought to move us.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Amen.
The gospel ought to move us.
Yes.
We love. Why? Because he first loved us. Ain't no way you could love if God hadn't first loved you.
Amen.
But because he has loved you, we ought to love the way God loves.
Yes.
He was sinless and the only one who could satisfy God's demand for perfect sacrifice. Mm-hmm. Lastly, that's what Christ did. The next issue then is, why did he do it? For it was for our sake, right? We just saw that. It was for our sake. He made him to be sin, who knew no sin. But then the next word is so. You looking at verse 21? Or because. So that, or in order that. So that in him we might become the righteousness of God. In order for us to become the righteousness of God, Christ had to do this. He had to become our sin bearer. Or we could not be God's righteousness. He had to become our sin bearer, or we could not be Christians. He had to become our sin bearer, or you could not sit here comfortably today knowing that God wasn't going to judge you. Right? You have to have a lamb that has paid the price. Now again, our culture, because we haven't seen that kind of animal sacrificial system, we just kind of take all that for granted. We're not accustomed to the innocent dying for the guilty. Mm-hmm. Our culture has become so dull and insensitive to this that we've got to recapture it again. Recapture it again. Amen. In our own heart. Yes. How could you not be faithful to someone who died for you? Why did he do it? Christ lived perfectly and died as a substitute for us so that we might become the righteousness of God. Now, I can't say that any clearer or any better. I hope that you embrace that. You are righteous because Jesus died. Yes. You get to go to heaven because Jesus died. You get to have your sins canceled because Jesus died.
Yes.
Oh! Nothing can separate us from the love of God because Jesus died. You are already seated in heavenly places in Christ because Jesus died.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
You already got your reservation in my Father's house. What? Many rooms, and you've got one. Why? Because Jesus died.
Thank you, Lord.
It's the only reason. You can't live good enough.
Right.
You can't give good enough. Mm-hmm. You can't serve good enough. Mm-hmm. But because he died, then I ought to want to give.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Because he died, I ought to want to serve.
Yes.
And what I'm saying is that we ought to want to give and serve more passionately.
Yes.
Give ourselves more passionately. We get setbacks. How can someone get setbacks so easily when Christ died? We gotta have more passion. I mean, think of it. John, the apostle, was willing to live on an island isolated. And he never, because he loved God. And we get set back because it's too cold. Mm. Or somebody didn't, whatever.
Yes. Yes.
Something to
wrong. But we don't have no passion for Christ.
Amen.
Yes?
Amen.
And in our family situations, Jesus died. It didn't mean that he's going to make your family perfect. Didn't promise the parents he's going to save all your children. I mean, any of these things. But we can have passion. Even we can, how did James say it? Count it all what? Joy. Even though my life is filled with trials and trouble, I can still have joy. Because Jesus died. And it's the joy of the Lord that strengthens me.
Yes, yes.
Not all the things working out in my life.
That's right. Yes, yes.
But if you don't have passion, that's not going to happen. And I don't want to just keep harping on the sports arena. But a coach will trade 5 talented athletes for 1 with passion.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Arrogant, talented athletes that half show up for practice on half play or whatever, when they can get one that has passion.
Yes.
That will come and leave everything on the practice field or in the game, they gave their all. And that's really all that God is asking from us. You see, every Christian in here wants to hear, well done. What? Good and faithful servant. But it requires some work to be good and faithful.
Amen.
And it doesn't always feel good.
Amen.
Yes?
Yes.
I mean, this is reality. God put our judgment on Christ, and he put Christ's righteousness in us as an inheritance. Jesus Christ has a perfect relationship with God, the Father, and now we have a right relationship with God because he died. You know it. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 8. There is therefore now what? No condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. My brother, my sister, how can you not love Jesus? And serve him. Which Jesus said the first great commandment is to what? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. When you're doing that, you don't need people begging you.
Yes.
You see, love works its way out into action. Love is way more than talk. Love is patient and kind. Right?
Yes.
Now, you know, everyone knows a verb. Those are all verbs. And when you love God, it leads to action. And not just action with our mouths of complaining and grumbling about everything. You see, joy. Joy comes from the heart.
Yes?
Yes.
Yes.
Joy comes from the heart. I didn't mean to labor that long, but I just believe that it is time that we get back to these really basic passions of the Christian life. My brother, my sister, have you fully embraced and are you enjoying this right relationship with God? It's called reconciliation with God. Will you take special time to contemplate what Christ has done for you? Now, you've listened to me for the last 30 minutes or so talk. Now, I want you to be engaged in your own mind and heart with what Christ, if you are a Christian, we're talking about what Christ did for you. You need to spend some time thinking that through. He was made to be the sin bearer and sacrifice for your sins. He was despised and rejected by men for you. He was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief for you. He was wounded for your transgressions. He was crushed for your iniquities. Jesus took God's full wrath and judgment for your sin, so that you could sit here today as a saint. You gotta consider this. Sit here today at peace with God. Sit here today with no condemnation on your heart. Sit here today as a child of God. Sit here today as a citizen of the kingdom of God, as a soldier in God's army, as a laborer in the ministry for Christ, as a soul destined for heaven. He did it for you.
Yes,
He did it for you. This is the reason we love Christ.
Yes.
And this is the reason love controls us. This is the reason we plead and beg unbelievers and believers, immature believers, to be reconciled to God. This is the reason we will keep on doing it. Because we love God too much not to do it. This is the reason we go where Christ tells us to go. This is the reason we do what He tells us to do. We live for Him who died for us, that we might become the righteousness of God. And if you know that you're not a Christian, you know that you're not a believer, you know that you have not believed this message, you know you've not received this ministry, then today is the day you need to be real and serious with God. Jesus has already died. He's not going to die again. The work has already been done. My friend, if you have never, never come to Jesus in faith, this is the day. Don't wait for some big celebration. Don't wait for stars to go off. Jesus said, in the day you hear my voice, do not harden your heart. And so I'm begging you today, if you have never come to Christ, do it today. Lord, we thank you for the love of Christ that so impassions us to love you and to serve you. So impassions us to be merciful to others and to fulfill your will. And Lord, we so long for everyone that will listen to the gospel to be reconciled to you as well. And so, Holy Spirit, we ask you to do your work here among us today. Create in us clean hearts. Restore the ears that the locusts have destroyed, and remove the dullness of our conscience, the dullness of our hearts, the things that have created procrastination and laziness in us. Fan the flame in us, Lord, that we would not be found lukewarm. Help us to be found hot for Jesus.
Yes.
Make our love hot for Jesus. Make our service hot for Jesus. Make us faithful. Faithful ambassadors for Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, God bless you. And-